Good evening, everyone. I count it a joy and a blessing to be able to spend a few minutes talking to you about what is a very personal issue with me. I trust that as we sang that song, all four stanzas, that we didn't skim over the words. It's the most beautiful hymn to me. And I wanted it sung not just because it's one of my favorites, but the content that we find in that particular hymn. You see, it speaks of our enemy and his cruel hate. You know, in our country, we are not faced with the devastation that we find amongst the persecuted church, although we have been spared physical harm. We need not think that the devil has taken his eye off of us. And there are various things that he puts in our way and in our place to cause us to, in a sense, fall short of what God would have for us. So we'd like to speak tonight out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hold your place there and read something to you. Something that could be used as a backdrop for what we'll be talking about and give us a sense of the relentlessness of our enemy. On January 17th, 2014, he died at the age of 91. His commander had left this intelligence officer behind on Lubang Island in the Philippines to spy on the Americans in 1945. Preferring death to surrender and refusing to believe that the war has been completed or was over, Second Lieutenant Hirod Onoda conducted guerrilla warfare for more than 29 years, killing 30 people during his campaign, and finally in 1974, his former commander, who had been flown to the island from Japan, ordered him to surrender his sword and to cease hostilities. Though he had patched his clothing often, he retained his uniform and his cap. His single-mindedness is amazing, isn't it? 29 years he continued the hostilities on his own. The war officially had come to an end aboard the USS Missouri in Tokyo Harbor on September 2, 1945. Onoda's persistence pales in comparison to the relentless warfare of the enemy of our souls. He has waged war on us long after our Lord Jesus Christ had met the full force of sin and death at Calvary. There at Calvary, the Lord's obedience and sacrifice overcame all evil opposition and forever sealed Satan's doom. Yet Satan to this very hour continues his hostilities against the followers of Christ. Beloved, our nation is in a terrible war, but I speak not of the great nation of the United States of America. I'm speaking of the holy nation referred to in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Satan hates those that have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. May God's holy word encourage us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. May our hearts be fortified and our minds enlightened as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. shall we read the Word of God, starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're in a war. And if you sit here this evening as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were one that has been born from above, and that the Spirit of the living God lives in you, you're in the war. Maybe you should have counted the cost, like Jesus had mentioned. Maybe you should have read the fine print, but nonetheless, you are in the war. You may not be participating to your full capacity, but you are in the war. I have some scriptures that attest to that, but I'm going to read them fast enough for you not to be pressed into trying to find them. This will not be a Bible drill. 1 Corinthians 9:25. I therefore run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest fight the good war. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life whereon thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a war. We need to take our responsibilities seriously. When I was in the service, there was such a thing as dereliction of duty. That is, even though we didn't all have the same responsibilities and duties, you had to fulfill that which was yours. Paul says in this writing here, in verse 4, we'll take a look at that very carefully. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? You can respond if you like. In the Old Testament, a stronghold was a physical fortified dwelling that provided protection. You might remember in 1 Samuel chapter 23 when Saul was chasing David all over the landscape, that's where David found his rest, as it were. Went into the strongholds. A stronghold is a place that is not easy to be attacked. Perhaps because of its location. Generally, the physical strongholds were in the mountainous regions. made it difficult to attack. But you see, here as we read this scripture in 2 Corinthians, Paul is telling us that there are strongholds that are a more spiritual nature. You see, what happened in the Old Testament eventually became spiritualized in a sense, because we read of our God being a stronghold. That's what we sang. A mighty fortress is our God, a place where we can find safety. But you see, not only is a stronghold allowing us to find protection in our God, but every single one of us have strongholds in our lives. A stronghold can be to our benefit as we find our hiding place, as it were, in God. Or we can allow our enemy to establish a stronghold in our spiritual life. We all sin. We have difficulties from time to time. But there are things that might be occurring in your life and in mine that are not the occasional sin. It's not the slip. It's the sin that we battle with and we don't seem to be able to have victory. We cry out to God and yet it persists. There are many strongholds in our lives as Christians that hamper us and cause us not to be able to move in God as we should. I want you to use your imagination for just a moment. Well, actually, you really don't have to. We have a brick wall behind us. All right, now visualize this. A brick wall. And it is allowing safety for our enemy. It's in our life, and it's a brick wall. You see the individual bricks? We could say that those individual bricks are error. When something is presented to you, and you do not receive it as the truth from God, and we'll look at some examples in a moment, you're handing our enemy a brick where he can build on. As long as we accept the lie, no matter what it is, we are participating in the building of this stronghold in our lives. The second part of it is the mortar that we see in between the bricks. That might be the ego that we have as we resist God. Let's look at that verse again. For though I walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Here's a stronghold for you. In Romans chapter 10, what does it say about the salvation of an individual? It says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's very simple. There are millions of people in this world that will not accept that as truth and feel that there's something that they may do, something that they have to do, something they have to accomplish in order to be right with God. That's believing a lie. See, the truth is very clear. You believe, can be saved. You don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can save you without your efforts? There's a brick. You understand that you have looked at the Word of God And you have decided that your opinion, your imagination is stronger and better. You've added some mortar. You've added some ego to the situation. What is a stronghold? It's a place of refuge in our lives at times, where the enemy of our souls can affect our lives. Now, if you're not a believer here tonight, if you have not given your life to Christ, if you are not born from above, much of what I'm going to say tonight really doesn't affect you. There are first steps that have to be made, and the first step is to come to Christ for salvation. But if you have done that, and you are sitting here born from above, we need to guard our lives, our spiritual lives, so that we won't have debris in our lives that would cause us not to be able to walk with the Lord. Well, if we look at that and we say, well, that's a stronghold. A stronghold can be a place of refuge for our enemy. It's formidable. It's difficult to attack. Well, how does it come about? How is a stronghold developed? Every time that we balk against the Word of God, every time we question what the Lord might have for us, every time that we are unresponsive and we have unsanctified thoughts and attitudes, we allow them to interfere in our walk and they rule our lives in a way. Just because we're Christians doesn't exempt us from harboring pet thoughts and feelings that are in opposition to God's will. Give you a few here. Mouth gets dry. Here's a few strongholds that are common to many Christians. You know your heart. I don't. You can lie to me. I can lie to you. But the Lord God Almighty knows everyone's heart. Here's a few of the strongholds that sometimes some Christians allow in their lives. Fear. Did you know fear was a sin? Resentment. Oh my, you have offended me. I'll never speak to you again. Not you, Dave. So what we have is something creeps into our lives and we allow it to establish a stronghold. What about bitterness? Unforgiveness? Oh, can't stand her. For 10, 20 years, I still can't forgive her. That's a stronghold. That's a place where he can trip you up, trip me up. How about unbelief, depression? Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about just being sad all the time. You see, because right there you have interfered with your strength. Does not the scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is my strength? How can you walk around in melancholy and expect to have power with God? How about anxiety? Aren't you to be anxious for nothing? A prayer, supplication, make your affairs, your dealings, make them known to God. He knows them already, but he wants you to know. Oh my, now we're starting to get into deeper water. How about lukewarmness? I almost feel like I'm preaching to the choir here. You understand what I mean, right? Almost every church everywhere, Sunday night, things drop off. Now, I'm not claiming that everybody who is not here that we normally see is lukewarm. But you do understand what I mean, that it possibly could be. Some of them are working in other parts of the vineyard, and praise God for them. How about sinful thoughts? Is any of this striking a chord? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. But is anybody feeling a little something that maybe he's... I'm not talking about you. I mean, I can't see your heart. How about lust? Pride? Oh, I thank thee, oh God, I'm not like that one. Oh. How about greed? Penny pincher. How about drugs, alcohol, and pornography? You know, that's also in the church. I didn't want to go and get statistics. Certainly, we hope that none of that's here. I'll read them again. Drugs, alcohol, and pornography. It could creep into your life. It's just a click away. We are not to worry. We are not to fear. It's sin. That's how they're developed. The little bit thing that you allow, the little irritant, the word that you've heard from someone else and you take it to heart and you have bitterness for years. You know, when you think about it as a believer, none of us have a right to be bitter about anything. We look to our Savior and we see him on the cross through the eye of faith. And as he's hanging there on the cross, what does he say to his Father? Forgive them. They know not what they do. If anyone had the right to be bitter, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ, as he accepted the nails in his hands and his feet. But he didn't. He forgave them. Who are we that we couldn't forgive someone, especially if they asked us to forgive them? So we know what strongholds are, and we have some idea of how they are developed in our lives by allowing certain feelings and attitudes to creep in without we judging them. And then we have our ego attached to this whole matter, so we strengthen our stronghold to hide our devil behind. Well, if we know what strongholds are and we know how they are developed, how do we determine whether or not there's a stronghold in our own lives? We are told to examine ourselves. How do we know? How can we identify? How can we recognize them? How can they be determined? Well, if there's something in your life, and we're not talking about an occasional sin or a thought that crosses your mind, we're talking habitual. See, this is where it becomes personal for me, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I want you to continue to smile at me. But oh yeah, there can be habitual things in my life as well as yours that you don't want to talk about. It's a continual, habitual thing that seems to crop up no matter what you do. You go before the Lord and you pray about it, but it remains. What's the attitude normally that happens after you have sought the Lord for it and he doesn't get rid of it for you? You might look at your own life and see where the gaps are that are allowing these thoughts and these attitudes to creep into your life. You confess, you have no victory. When you reach the point where you think that whatever that issue is that habitually gets you, you may think that, oh, this is my besetting sin, so we'll just go with this one. No. The Lord makes no provision for you to harbor sin in your breast. He doesn't. So if you find that there's anything, whether it's any of these things we had spoken about before, fear, anxiety, apathy, unbelief, lukewarmness, if it's habitually in your life, you have a stronghold. Our enemy is gaining access to your life through that avenue. Well, is it all gloom and doom? Well, no, not really. In Ephesians chapter 1, we find that there's power in our life. It's interesting that the Lord equates the power that is in your life with the power that he exercised when he raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. Lifted him up high to sit him at his own right hand. That's the kind of power that's in you and in me if we are truly believers. So it's not gloom and doom. It's not a matter of we have no access to anything else. You see, because if there is a stronghold in your life and you're finding it difficult, we read this again in this portion. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshy. They're not according to man's mind or man's activities or his workings. But it's mighty through God. We cannot leave God out of the equation. And we're not talking about forgiveness necessarily. We're talking about power to get rid of that habitual thing in our lives that's causing a stronghold. Casting down imaginations. What's that? What is that casting down imaginations? Is that just King James language that's difficult to understand? No, in our hearts we know when we are running in opposition to God, we know it. As a believer with the Spirit in us, we know when we are grieving the Holy Spirit. We know when we are resisting Him. We know that. I'm talking about that habitual thing that you come to the crossroads and you know that there's a decision to be made about this. Are you going to relent and allow it to take charge for a moment? No. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, casting down imaginations. And as that scripture continues, is taking every thought into the captivity of Christ. Well, if we have strongholds, how do we dismantle them? How do we tear them down? How does that happen? We've already prayed hard. We've already repented. We may even feel in our hearts, I hate myself for this. For me personally, I would refer to Paul and when he would say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Oh, overwhelmed over and over. That's a stronghold. Well, there's a three-pronged approach in dealing with this stronghold that I have written here. There might be others. There might be something else. First, if you want to get rid of this stronghold in your life, you have to admit that you have a stronghold. You know, until we know what the problem is, we cannot really develop a way of dealing with it, no matter what the problem might be. So we have to admit that there's something in our lives. It's not just you are a victim. It's not just that all people, all men have this issue. It's specific to you. You see, because my stronghold may not be designed like yours. But you have to admit it. You're not a victim. You have to take responsibility for it. Well, we need to arm ourselves is the second A. There's three A's there. This is not a commercial. That went right over my head too. Okay. It's not triple A here, but there is the second A is that we are to arm against the stronghold. That one has four parts to it. First, there's scripture. Please quickly turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. I think we're all familiar with this portion of scripture. I'm sure a lot of you are way ahead of me on this. Chapter 4. What happens in chapter 4 of Matthew? Apparently, it's not the same thing as Matthew chapter 14, so. Matthew chapter 4. My, I have no Matthew chapter 4. Oh, there it is. Okay. What we have in the biblical narrative here is that the Lord Jesus Christ was taken into the wilderness by the Spirit. And Satan tempted him. He was in the wilderness 40 days. Satan came to him with various things. In fact, I think there were three. Verse 4. Oh, it is written. Verse 7. It is written again. Verse 10. It is written. You see, Satan is not terrified by what you say. What you say means very little to him. Didn't we sing the song that on earth there is not his equal? Not afraid of us. But he does respond to the word of God. And there's our prime example, even the Lord Jesus Christ systematically and specifically used the word of God to turn back the efforts of Satan. It is written. So our first part of this arming ourselves is scripture. We not only need to know scripture, we know how to apply it to whatever the difficulty might be. That means we need to spend time. You see, Jesus didn't just throw scripture at Satan. He was very specific. When Satan brought the temptation, Jesus had the proper weapon to deal with it. The second one is prayer. First scripture, then prayer. Prayer is no more than crying out to God concerning your helplessness, letting him know what he already knows, that you can't do it yourself. What an enlightenment that is to your life when you realize that you need not continue to struggle, but that you can admit that you have this stronghold, use specific scripture that might help you, and also admit your helplessness in prayer. Now, I might get some opposition, but we'll go very quickly. Please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I was surprised to find this myself. This has to do with Jehoshaphat. And I'm offering and suggesting to you that in addition to scripture, in addition to prayer, we also have praise and singing unto the Lord. In this story, verse 1, it came to pass also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside, the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. To move along in the story, he was outmanned and he was outweaponed. As the story goes on, we find in to make the long story short, please read it yourself at home. What happens is they sing. They bring singers in front of the army, and they praise God for the deliverance. To make a short story even shorter, they are successful. Now, here's one we can find. Acts chapter 16. You know the story. You know what happened. Acts chapter 16. Where was Paul? Paul was in jail. 25. Let's start at 25. 16:25. At midnight, Saul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't mumbling. They were shouting out. But they were in dire circumstances. They were in prison. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. 27, the keeper of the prison, waking out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Here's the story. In those circumstances, chained in a prison, they were singing loudly, praising their God. So we have scripture, we have prayer, we have singing in praise to our God as we deal with our strongholds. When we look at this passage of scripture, we find that I was tempted to go to Ephesians chapter 6, where they have the whole armor of God. But you see, that is a portion of scripture that encourages us to stand. This scripture encourages us to pull down strongholds and imaginations. This is aggressive. When I looked up the words in the concordance, don't understand Greek, don't even know what those wiggles mean. But what we found out was that this word of pulling down strongholds is violence. That's the way we have to deal with the sins in our lives that have formed into strongholds, habitual problems that we have. We have to be relentless. We have to be devastating. You see, because we are children of the light and we really don't have any. Anybody read Huckleberry Finn? Anybody ever read that book? Two? It was mandatory. How old am I? It was mandatory when I was in school. Huck would always say things like, they had no truck with them. You understand that word? Truck? Involvement. Wow. I guess you're not from Missouri. But at any rate, we have no dealings with the powers of Satan and of darkness. We don't form treaties. There's no negotiation. You see, because we sang that song, and if we paid attention closely with the words, 26, right? I found that. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. You see, as a believer, we are on the winning side, and therefore we have no need to negotiate or have treaties with our enemy, the enemy of our soul. The Lord Jesus Christ won the victory at Calvary. We as believers should walk in that victory. We cannot walk in that victory if we allow strongholds to take residence in our lives. We cannot have the freedom to move about and to do the Lord's will if we're ashamed of what our secret lives might be, what those skeletons in our closet might look like. We need to clear that up. And we have an Almighty God who is more than willing to come into our lives and clean it up and to help us. Our time is gone. My intent was to encourage your heart and mine to take to heart the fact that we are in a war, and it's a war that has already been won. We should be walking in the victory of that life in Christ. I hope you'll continue to search these things out, to challenge your own heart, to walk in the light as He is in the light, and have no truck with darkness. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for all of the care that you have for us. That through the Lord Jesus Christ, not only have you given us salvation, but you have elevated us to be sons and daughters of the God of the universe. Help us, Father, that we might walk worthy of this calling, that we might be bold, knowing full well our position with thee. Again, Father, we would ask that you might give us insight into our own particular lives and how we might demolish those hindrances that we have so that we can walk in the light and have fellowship with thee and with thy Son, in whose name we give thee thanks. Amen.